Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Welcome back. Seems like I was just here. And we're kicking off Racing Across America on a Pennsylvania Derby day. As I noted, Riley Mott will join us in a few. Taped an interview yesterday, talked Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby with Riley. A little bit later on, Ellis Starr, national racing analyst from Equibase, to look at some of the stakes races on the Pennsylvania Derby card a little bit later. But we'll start things out, just some notes and whatnot. While we were talking to John DeSilva on the Handicapper Report earlier, he mentioned how good Lava Man looked. And for folks who don't know, John brought it up in relation to Hot Rod Charlie. Well, Lava Man, of course, ran for Doug O'Neill, trainer of Hot Rod Charlie. And for folks who don't know, Lava Man has become a stable pony for Doug O'Neill. And so he traveled with Hot Rod Charlie to Parks. And I think I was checking out the Tim Wilkin Twitter feed. Tim is down as part of the press box, the notes team down at Parks this week. And Tim tweeted out a little on track of both Hot Rod Charlie and Lava Man. And as John said, Lava Man's still looking good. And I looked at, I pulled up the Equibase info on Lava Man. Lava Man born in 2001, so 20-year-old Lava Man. And for folks who don't, I mean, you got to be pretty new to the game not to remember, because he was racing as recently as 2009. But for folks who don't remember, Lava Man, $5 million earner. And you can see there, he's the stable pony in front, and Hot Rod Charlie there. Still looking pretty good at 20 years old. The old millionaire runner. And as I say, if you're new to the game, you may not remember, but boy, Lava Man was some special horse. 17 wins and 47 starts, $5 million in the bank. And he was a claim, too. And I'm not going to be able to pull up, but they claimed him for some crazy amount of money and then went out to win million, but one of the all-time great horse racing claims. But yeah, that was from Tim Wilkins' Twitter feed. Lava Man and Hot Rod Charlie at Parks a little bit earlier this week. As I say, Tim down there, part of the team covering the event. And I tried to, I was going to plug Tim in this morning, and I didn't realize that he said he's doing a weekly Saturday morning thing with Dale Romans, and I had not realized it. I said, I have to check that out. So you can check online. And maybe the Horse Racing Radio Network, maybe. I will alert you when I find out. But I'm imagining a Wilkin-Romans pair-up is fairly entertaining podcast radio material. Again, big card at Parks today, big card at Belmont as well, and I will also alert you tomorrow at Belmont. There's a nice stake as well. We talk a little bit about it with Riley Mott in a couple of minutes, because Lake Avenue is in the gallant bloom, but also Bella Sophia, who won the test last time in just fine fashion in her fourth career start. The day before, a couple days before, I had Michael Dubb and Libby Imperio on, and we were talking about Faith's House, the new backstretch facility for the backstretch kids, and Michael Dubb being a prominent proponent of that, Nana's House down at Belmont, but Libby Imperio being one of the board members helping push this. So we were talking about that, and we were talking a little bit about horses as well. And the segment ended, and Libby said, gee, I should have brought up my horse going in the test tomorrow, Bella Sophia. And I was like, oh, I should have. And I went down in the winner's circle after the test. They said, hey, next time I have you on the show, if you have one like that, kick me under the table and get me to mention the horse. Because at 4-1, Bella Sophia looked fabulous winning the test up at Saratoga. But she's tomorrow stepping in against Older in the Gallant Bloom. Short field, but Lake Avenue is in. Not tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, Sunday. Stepping in against Older, including Lake Avenue, who put in a good second behind Gamine in the Ballerina last time up at Saratoga. So that's tomorrow, the Gallant Bloom. As I say, a short field, but with a couple of horses that make it rather intriguing. All right, just a little short beginning segment to kind of kick things off. Timing-wise, we'll take a break and come back. We'll kick right into the Riley Mott interview. Again, thanks to him for taking the time to go on the phone with us yesterday. So that'll come up, then I'll come back a little bit later on, and we will talk to Ellis Starr. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
BetRivers, the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by Riley Mott, assistant trainer to his father, Bill Mott. They have a couple of runners in tomorrow or this afternoon at Parks in the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion. Also some runners, some very impressive runners over the past few weeks that we'll talk about as well. Riley, good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on. And before we get going, I have to laugh because I reached out to you, I think it was the last weekend of Saratoga, and I thought we'd plug you in live on the backstretch up there. And so I sent you a text, hey, can you come over and sit in tomorrow? And you shot back a text and you said, I'd love to, but my wife just went into labor, so I'm headed to the hospital. So I understood giving you the break there. And last night I went to Twitter and the guys in the control room can pull up a couple of pictures. The baby girl looks super cute, so congratulations to you and your wife.
No, I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a fun couple weeks, and I figured I'd take care of a bunch of horses. Why can't I take care of a little baby? So it's all good.
And a nice picture of you holding the baby, and then I guess what, the big brother or big sister, the dog, looking at the new addition to the family?
Yeah, got the dog Henry at home, and he's loving it, and the grandparents are loving it, so it's a happy time for everybody.
Excellent. And what's the sleeping situation like the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's few and far between, those hours of sleep. I'm used to it with being in the horse business, but this kind of takes it to another level, I'd say.
Yeah, very good. Again, congratulations. All right, let's jump in. And we'll start with the Pennsylvania Derby, because you guys have a very exciting runner. And we're going to take a look at the race the middle of August up at Saratoga for Speaker's Corner. Speaker's Corner here is going to be the number 4 horse. Pretty easy to pick out, as the chart margin under the line is just over 5 lengths. It seemed like, reading the quotes from your father after the race, you kind of felt like only 3 starts, but this comeback with a 101 buyer figure, the Pennsylvania Derby was kind of sitting out there in your sights right after this event. Is that the case? How did the horse come out of the race, and were you kind of thinking Pennsylvania Derby immediately after this comeback victory?
Well, for one, the horse came out of the race so well. I mean, he's breathing fire. He's ready to go, ready to run against the big dogs in the Pennsylvania Derby. Couldn't be happier with him. As a 2-year-old, he was probably, our nicest one of the bunch. He always tattered himself, and we always thought he could be a horse that we'd be running in stakes races as a 3-year-old and so on. And unfortunately had a little hind ankle injury prior to the Remsen. We were going to run him at Aqueduct. So that was a little disappointing, but, took our time with him, bringing him back, got him back on a work schedule down towards the end of Payson in Florida. And then just before we shipped back up to Saratoga for the spring, he got sick on us. So had to stop again, and we lost some more time. So it was, kind of one thing after another, but, we always thought he was going to continue to, train well when he got healthy. And, it was very encouraging to see how he came back in that race going 7/8. Did
you foresee the big effort? Because it was a big comeback effort. The buyer, and often from age 2 to 3, there is this kind of improvement. But the buyer jumped up 21 points. And as I say, a comeback effort like that, a triple-digit buyer, were you prepared for that kind of an effort?
Well, I mean, didn't expect him to win the way he did. I mean, we would be tickled to death if he had, you know, ran a good race, finished second or third, probably at a distance that we don't think is his optimal one. We were trying to enter him going 1 1/8, and the race wouldn't fill. So we were kind of forced into running in the 7/8 race. Turned out fine. I mean, he broke his maiden going 7/8 at Belmont. You know, when they run a number like that, you don't exactly expect it. But we also weren't surprised by any means. So,
any feedback from Jose Ortiz after the race?
He was obviously over the moon about the horse, and I talked to his agent, Jimmy Riccio, a couple days later, and he said they'd go to the moon to ride that horse back. So I assume they're going to be showing up in Pennsylvania today.
So, yeah, so he's back on board. And you've kind of alluded to it already, but the first three races of the career so far, 6 and 7 furlongs, you stretch out Saturday afternoon to 9 furlongs, the 1 1/8. And you, as I say, you alluded to it. I'm guessing you guys are thinking the longer the better.
Well, I mean, he is built that way. He's bred that way. And he kind of trains that way. You know, like the boss always says, you don't know till they actually go out there and do it. So we can speculate as much as we want, but, you know, he's got to get in there and, you know, handle the two turns against very stiff competition. So, you know, we're cautiously optimistic. Don't think we'd really change spots with anyone. But like I said, he's got to go out there and perform. So.
Yeah, it is a salty field, but with the triple digit, you guys come in looking very intriguing on Saturday. And I'll ask, you're based up in Saratoga, and his last workout was just about a week ago up in Saratoga, bullet work over the Oklahoma track. How did he look in the last workout?
Really well. I mean, he's been working heads up with Obligatory, who we run in the Cotillion. They appear to be a really good match in their workouts. You know, it's, you know, when they gallop out, it's just kind of the further the better. They just, particularly Speaker's Corner, he just continues to gallop out well and get stronger as the workout goes on. So we're encouraged about the two turns in Pennsylvania.
Very good. That's the Pennsylvania Derby on Saturday with Speaker's Corner. But as you mentioned, Obligatory also on Saturday. She'll be in the Cotillion one race earlier on the card. And I pulled up a couple replays. I'll tell the guys in the control room they can kind of go back to back here. We're going to go back to April and look at the 8 Bells first. A nice win for Obligatory a little earlier in the season. She's going to be the number 7 horse in this race down at Churchill. A little bit later on, she comes back in June in the Acorn and runs a good second to Search results there. Subsequently up at Saratoga, ran 5th in the test at 7 furlongs. But I'm just curious, you know, the nice win we're seeing here, boy, the nice closing win in the 8 Bells, but then the Acorn as well. The 7 furlongs in the test, and now you stretch out on Saturday to the 1 1/16. What are your thoughts on, you know, the result in the test after the two races we're looking at here, the two really nice performances, the come away from the test, and then the stretch out to the 8.5 furlongs on Saturday for Obligatory?
Naturally, we were pretty disappointed in, you know, with their effort in the test. I mean, you know, we're hoping you can kind of just draw a line through it. Came out of it well. She's been on a steady work program since. You know, the 8 Bells is obviously a very strong race, but at the same time, she got an extremely hot pace up front to run into. You know, I thought the race at Belmont after the 8 Bells was pretty interesting. I mean, it didn't look like she had much interest at the 3/8 pole, and then she came with a wild run to finish a close second to a very nice filly. So that was encouraging, but although that was a mile, it was not 2 turns. So that's, you know, another horse that needs to go out there and prove it. Her one race going 2 turns was a little bit disappointing as well down at the fairgrounds. We were hoping in that situation she was maybe just a little green. She lacked a lot of seasoning and experience compared to the field. So, you know, with a little more seasoning going into the Cotillion, we're hopeful she'll, you know, put in a good effort. You know, happy with how she's doing, and we're pretty excited about her.
Yeah, and as you say, she's been working up at Saratoga and looking good as well. So, again, wish you a lot of luck in both the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby. And as I said at the top, I wanted to go back and look at some of the races you guys have won over the past few weeks and get maybe a little update on some of those horses. And we'll go back to closing weekend at Saratoga and take a look at Warlike Goddess. She's going to be the number three horse here, winning for the sixth time in seven starts. She has just been a win machine, and again, looking pretty good in two efforts up at Saratoga. Before this, earlier in the meet, she had won the Glens Falls, so this was a good exclamation point to end the meet. How did Warlike Goddess come out of the Flower Bowl, and what might be next for her?
She exited the race great. We gave her a few easy weeks, light training after the race, just to kind of help her maintain her weight. She's back on a work schedule. She had her first work back the other day, went very well. And we'll kind of work backwards from the Breeders' Cup and train her up to that, and hopefully get her to Del Mar in one piece. And, you know, it looks like she'd be, you know, one of the top Americans going into the Breeders' Cup, Filly and Mare Turf. You know, always a question mark what Europeans are going to come over. They're obviously a very strong force when they come over, but it's, you know, we're in a very good place with the filly at the moment, and very pleased with her. She's very nice.
I can't blame you. The 6-for-7 record says she's something very special. Talking about special, that same afternoon up at Saratoga, an allowance event had the horse racing Twitter world buzzing, obviously, with a gaudy 114 buyer figure. We are going to look at number 8, Baby Yoda, get it done. Chart margin is 4 1/4 lengths. This was career start number 4, the second win at Saratoga, had a win at the beginning of the meet as well. But as I say, a buyer figure that just jumped off the page. Talk a little bit about this performance for Baby Yoda. Did you guys see it coming? How'd the horse come out of the race? And what might be next for Baby Yoda?
I mean, you know, you never really expect him to, you know, run like that. I mean, he was up on a 44 and change pace and kept on going. You know, he's not really a horse that trains like he's breathing fire. He's probably the most easygoing horse in the barn. Maybe a little more laid back than the stable pony even. So, you know, he doesn't really give you the inclination he's going to run off the screen like that. But It was, you know, a huge effort against a very good field. I mean, that was kind of a loaded bunch for an A other than. Came back out of it in good shape. I think the ownership group and the boss are still talking about where to run him, but I've heard a couple spots thrown around, perhaps the Phoenix at Keeneland or the Vosburg, or, I mean, he's also eligible for a few other things that would be a little more conservative. But yeah, he's got quite a fan following at the moment with a name like that.
It's exactly.
Pretty easy to latch on to. You know, the bandwagon's still open, I guess, for people to jump on if they want. But yeah, it's been fun. And like I said, he's such a cool horse to be around. It makes it even more fun.
Yeah, that's great. And I know it's a ways down the road, but might the Malibu be on the agenda?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if he continues to run the way he's running, you got to think about some of the top races, but again, you know, he's so lightly raced, and you gotta, you know, see how he fares against stakes competition and what have you. But you know, if you're a numbers guy, you really like the horse.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And as you say, the name, yeah, the Twitter world was going wild there, understandably so. It's a great day for you guys up at Saratoga that afternoon. A little earlier in the month. Going back to the end of August, actually, but a little earlier on, wanted to pull up the win from Art Collector out at the Charlestown Classic. Art Collector is going to be the number 8 horse here. And again, I saw he also had a recent work up at Saratoga, so I just thought we'd follow up a little bit. Art Collector and what might be next for him?
Art Collector is doing very well. I think the Woodward is on the docket for him at Belmont. It'd be a one-turn mile and an eighth, I guess, which is probably right up the horse's alley. He's got a lot of natural speed. I think Luis Saez in his last two races has put the horse extremely well. I mean, kind of gets him out of the gate and right up on the pace and into the race at an early point. And the horse seems to kind of thrive off that type of running style. And, you know, we kind of ran him back, you know, quickly after the race here in Saratoga back at Charlestown. But, you know, he bounced back out of those two races very well and is carrying good flesh. And we're excited to run him back at Belmont. It'll be fun for the owner, Bruce Lunsford, who we've had horses for a long time. He's a fantastic guy. Really fun to do well for him. And his horse is a bit of a barn favorite at the moment.
Nice.
So it's been fun so far.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Sunday in the Gallant Bloom. Boy, it's a small field, but it's a fun field with a 3-year-old Bella Sophia coming out of the test with a 101 buyer. And you guys have Lake Avenue coming out of the Ballerina, second place finish. I didn't pull up the replay, but ran second to Gamine with a 101 buyer. After the great 2-year-old season and the funny 3-year-old season, Lake Avenue has come back to run very well as a 4-year-old up at Saratoga. A couple of seconds in the Honorable Miss behind the talented Bells the One, and again behind Gamine and the Ballerina with that 101 buyer. What are your thoughts, and how is Lake Avenue coming into the Sunday race, the Gallant Bloom?
She's in very good form right now, both physically and on paper. I mean, you can't fault her last three races whatsoever. Although they were defeats, they were, you know, bang up efforts against very good horses, like you mentioned. You know, second to Gamine in a grade one last time. Gamine, arguably a Hall of Fame quality horse. It was fantastic to get Lake Avenue some grade one black type last time. Gonna have to face another solid field at Belmont Sunday. You know, but we thought Philly was doing well enough to enter her back and take a shot at it.
Yeah, again, the second place finishes are against some salty competition. Gonna be interested to see what happens on Sunday. And again, a fun field with the 3-year-old Bella Sophia stepping up in there. Wish you a lot of good luck. Before I let you go, we were talking before we went on the air, and just from the conversation, I think people have picked up. This time of year, you're based up in Saratoga. Of course, training continues after the race meet ends. If people aren't aware, plenty of horses still stabled up there and working out the Oklahoma track up until, you know, October, November time. For folks who aren't familiar with the postseason situation up at Saratoga, talk a little bit about what it's like to train there late summer and early fall, and how the atmosphere is maybe a little bit different than the racing season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the atmosphere during the racing season is as electric as there is in this business. There's a lot of hustle and bustle, and that's all fine and well. But, you know, once the meet ends, it gets nice and tranquil over here at Saratoga, and the track stays in great condition. Naira maintains it very well throughout the fall, and it's become, you know, a very big asset to us, you know, getting a lot of our Breeders' Cup horses ready up here for, you know, the year-end championships. And, you know, we have anywhere from 50 to 60 horses up here in the off-season. So it's, you know, a big part of our operation in the off-season here. And me personally and in this division will go down to Payson Park in Florida come November. So we're back and forth between both places, and it's worked out really well for us.
That's nice. Saratoga, spring, summer, fall, and then a little Florida in the winter time. I'm envious. I want your job. But, Riley, we really appreciate the conversation. Wish you a lot of good luck. Obviously, Saturday, the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby, and with some of the other horses we talked about going forward as well. As I say, appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again. And, again, congratulations on the new addition to the family.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Riley Mott, again, assistant to Bill Mott. A couple of nice horses coming up Saturday afternoon at Parks.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on. on sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, thanks to Riley Mott for taking the time yesterday to sit down with that phone interview with us, obligatory in the Cotillion Speakers Corner. Looking forward to seeing what that one can do in the Pennsylvania Derby off the big performance up at Saratoga. So, again, appreciate him taking the time. Also appreciate the time from Ella Starr, our friend from Equibase, national racing analyst from Equibase. Haven't talked to Ellis here on the program since before Saratoga. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, everybody.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about some of the stakes on the Pennsylvania Derby card. But as we haven't had you on for a while, let's catch up. I was talking with you. You were out at Vegas for the National Handicapping Championship representing Equibase, as you normally are. We didn't get to make it out because of the overlap on Travers weekend, but you were saying that was a fun weekend. But I'd love your thoughts on the racing that weekend and just the summer in general. But you go back to that Travers weekend, I think everybody's kind of buzzing about some of the results there with Essential Quality with the big performance and that Yaupon and Frenzy Fire. Unfortunately, the news came out yesterday, Yaupon now retired after getting a ding out at Santa Anita in a workout, but that's unfortunate. But everybody was buzzing at Saratoga, and I think across the country, you can give us some of the thoughts of what the buzz was like out in Vegas, but that attempt to take a chomp out of Yaupon from Frenzy Fire got a lot of talk. But what are some of your thoughts over the summer of racing?
Now, first, I hadn't seen a horse trend be that vicious in many, many years. There was a famous horse in California named Brujo that did that in some big pictures. But, I mean, that was tremendous. 500 people were all just screaming and kind of laughing. And, you know, it's lucky he didn't catch a piece of the bridle or something else or his tongue. But it was fascinating to watch that race. And the racing was great. I mean, the NHCB in summer, I kind of wish they'd do it because even though it was long days, instead of racing ending at 4:30 with Santa Anita and Golden Gate. And in this case, Del Mar went to, you know, six on Saturday and Sunday and Friday. And so it was a long, long day with the racing starting at like 9:30 Pacific time. But it was wonderful being out there. And the racing was great. Saratoga was fantastic. That, of course, that was a chalky day, but Essential Quality came through and Yaupon Friends Fire and so many good races. And looking forward to the fall. I mean, we're not done. And we think it, even with smaller full crops and smaller fields, and you look at the fields today at parks, and then you start thinking ahead to, well, geez, I mean, Keelan opens in 2 weeks. And they got the opening weekend, the Fall Stars weekend with, you know, just all those stakes races, the two-year-old, the Alcibiades, Breeders' Futurity, and then, of course, Belmont with all the big races. We're not anywhere near done yet. So it's exciting that I'm actually excited that we're not getting a break.
Yeah, and you always kind of feel like it's summer and Del Mar and Saratoga are in the rearview mirror. And I've said it before, I get about 3 days out, and it seems like it was 2 months ago already. You're into the fall, and the great fall racing has started down at Belmont today. At parks and beyond. And so we are in the midst of that fall season that leads into the Breeders' Cup. Looking forward to that. You mentioned Keeneland. We will certainly check in with you as that progresses as well. But I wanted some of your thoughts. I know your race of the week on Equibase and over on America's Best Racing today was the Pennsylvania Derby. So let's start with that. Really an intriguing field in here. Pennsylvania Derby, grade one event, $1 million up for grabs, 9 furlongs. During the interview with Riley Mott, I showed the Saratoga race for Speaker's Corner, the triple-digit buyer on the comeback. Only 3 starts, but that Bill Mott elects to go down to the Pennsylvania Derby says a lot as well. Hot Rod Charlie with that big performance in the Belmont Stakes, and then, you know, the unfortunate incident in the Haskell. Midnight Bourbon, I'm tilting in that direction off the big performance, pushing Essential Quality for all he could get in the Travers last time with a 107 buyer. I'm going to pull up a replay looking at American Revolution now. We're going to look at the Albany, a New York bred stakes race. American Revolution is going to be the number two horse here. It's Luis Saez and Todd Pletcher. Team is back intact for the Pennsylvania Derby on Saturday afternoon. And it's just going to be fun to see what this New York bred can do in with this field. Weyburn also in here. Folsom, a horse I've liked throughout the year. It's just a fun, intriguing field. Your thoughts in the Pennsylvania Derby?
Well, as you said, you know, folks can get this analysis at America's Best Racing Info Base. It's also one of three races on the great card at Parks that I did for one of my other blogs that people can get by going to my Twitter account at UberCapper. You know, Speaker's Corner is a wise guy horse. I was hoping Magina Spirit ran because I wanted the money going that way and get the 8-10-1 on Speaker's Corner. This was as early as Tuesday, I think, I published this, America's Best Racing in Equibase. So, you know, I've seen tweets from Andy Sterling talking about what his odds are going to be now and probably 5-1. I get that particularly, you know, he's the third or fourth horse. People are looking for something to beat the favorites with. I mean, Hot Rod Charlie will be certainly favored now. He might have always been favored. American Revolution. I mean, that's my 1-2, Speaker's Corner, American Revolution. And not because I'm looking for price, Seth. It's because, again, I've been on him all week. Speaker's Corner, first of all, Central Quality, we know what he is, right? The three-year-old divisional leader, at least it seems like, after, you know, that huge effort, you know, first the Belmont and then the Travers. And then you got Speaker's Corner. Central Quality's taking this one off. It's fine. Speaker's Corner's on just a fantastic pattern. I mean, the second start last year, he improved dramatically. This is his second off the layoff, same thing. Bill Mott, it's just a couple stats on Mott. When people wonder about Bill Mott going maiden allowance to stakes races for three-year-olds, he's done it in the winter. He'd done it with a horse I can't remember who ran second of the four, a Derby. He did it with Candyman Sam and the Sam Davis this year. He did it with Art Collector recently in the Alidar. And he's also 4-9 off the layoff with the sprinter route. And Jose Ortiz just rode the horse just fantastically. In the pattern of figures, no matter what figure you use, I'll refer to the Echo Base figures. You know, 68-86 in his first two, so he went up a lot. And 107, he's got to go up off of the second race off the left. He has to. The 5-furlong drill is good. Again, you're not going to get 12, unfortunately, anymore. Not that you ever would before, but it's going to get lower now. But he just fits on he ticks every box, basically, in terms of an improving horse. And you know, if Hot Rod Charlie does not repeat his Haskell again, which was unfortunate that he got DQ'd, then Speaker's Corner could certainly win. Similarly, American Revolution. I don't care if he's New York bred. It doesn't matter to me. People maybe poo him. But think of Tis the Law for a second. He's a son of Constitution. Look what he did last year with the three-year-olds. American Revolution is the same horse, in my opinion. You have a super saver mare. Saez has ridden him to all three wins this year. 6 furlongs, mile and 16th, mile and 8th. The last two were two turns. He got a 108 Equibase speed figure, in case I didn't mention. Speaker's Corner is 107. I'm going to put that in perspective now. Hot Rod Charlie got a 109 in the Derby, 108 in the Belmont, and 113 in the Haskell. So two of those three are identical. But the difference is Hot Rod Charlie has peaked. And if he repeats his Haskell, yeah, and the other two don't move forward, he can win, and certainly I'm not going to take a stand against him. I will take a stand against Keep Me in Mind and some of the others in Weyburn. But as far as American Revolution and Speaker's Corner go, they're still got a step to go up, and it's a logical step. I'm not guessing. I believe very strongly they're going to take the step up. So I got Speaker's Corner and American Revolution. I'm going to bet either both at 4-1 or better. Absolutely betting both to win here. Box them with Hot Rod Charlie in the exacta. Maybe play an additional exacta with Midnight Berman and Keep Me in Mind to come in second and third. That's about it. And finish off some really nice pick threes, pick fours, because you've got Jackie's Warrior, which we'll talk about briefly, is going to win. It looks like a single in the gallon box.
Yeah, you would think, certainly. But I'm looking forward to this Pennsylvania Derby. And the two, I have them right in the mix. As I say, I'm taking a little pop with Midnight Bourbon, but I have the two others in the mix that you mentioned, Speaker's Corner, American Revolution, lightly raced and maybe moving forward at the right time and place, and going to be a really interesting edition of the Pennsylvania Derby, scheduled to go off at about 5:45. Today. Race just before that, go off at 5:02 is the schedule for the Cotillion. Grade one for the three-year-old fillies, $1 million up for grabs. Another very fun field in here. Maracuja, talked to Rob Attris up at Saratoga, and we talked about this one, obviously, having won the coaching club American Oaks. Just talked to, as I say, Riley Mott about obligatory. Ran fifth in the test. They were a little bit disappointed with that, but the Acorn and the Eight Bells previously were very good races. Army Wife is a horse that you have to pay attention to, obviously, off the third in the Alabama last time, but a string of wins before that. I'm going to pull up, though, the Alabama last time. Malathat, obviously, the leader in this division, but Clairiere ran very well to be second, the number three horse here in the Alabama last time. I've liked her throughout the season. She's likely to be favored in here, I would think. I'll take that and hope that she gets to the winner's circle for the second time in the season. Off, again, this second-place finish we're looking at in the Alabama. But I think, again, it's an intriguing addition of the Cotillion. Your thoughts?
Well, there's two sets of thoughts here, Seth, and because this is a great series, again, for multiple race bets, you know, in the Pennsylvania Derby, you know, I'm going to use Speaker's Corner, American Revolution, Hot Rod Charlie on both of my tickets. You got Jackie's Warrior again. We'll go back to the Turf Monster in a minute. On one of my tickets, my main ticket here, I'm singling Army Wife. I absolutely think she stands out. And I don't know that I may play a second ticket using the other horses. The other contenders on the blog I was talking about that covers this is Clairiere, always Karina because she's possibly lone speed. Maracuja, who's an in-and-outer, but if she runs in like she did in the CCA Oaks, she could win, but she's not really trustworthy. And Leader of the Band, who had a race over the track. She ran second in that little list of stakes at Parks for John C. Service. She won the Monmouth Oaks, so she fits a little bit if she improves. But I'm going to go back to Army Wife. I like the fact Clairiere is 2-1. This is what I was hoping for in the Pennsylvania Derby. I think Clairiere is a good horse. I don't think she's a great horse. I know why she's 2-1. I know why she's 2-1 on the morning line. I know why she's probably going to be favored over Army Wife because she beat Army Wife in the Alabama. But Army Wife ran a better race in the Alabama. Army Wife stalked in third, made the lead with a quarter to go, battled head and head. She was in front by a head at the 7-furlong mark. She was in front by a head at the 9-furlong mark. And she ended up third. That's a better race than Clairiere closing to second. And we could argue all day about that, but it's a better race when a horse does that, expends all that energy getting to the lead, and then gets a little tired late. If that race was a mile of 16th, she wins. So also, Rosario. Rosario rode her so well in the Black Eyed Susan in the Iowa Oaks. Gaffalione rode her okay in the Alabama. Might have been a mile and a quarter. Might have been the strategy that Mike Baker told him to use. Don't know. Rosario's back. Rosario got those two big wins, 2¾ and 3¾ before that. She does come off a career best effort with a 104 Echo Base speed figure. She also has a career best buyer. And Clary is not that much different, but looking at 7-2 versus 2-1, I'm in love with Army Wife as a win bet and a single on most of my pick three, pick four tickets.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I mean, she's very talented, and that race in the Alabama was a good effort. As I say, Clairiere, it's one of those horses I've been a little married to throughout the year. I just like to see her break through potentially. I thought the Alabama was a good effort, but again, nice
good
field.
Horse.
Nice contentious.
I've heard a horse.
Yeah, nice contentious field. Looking forward to it. All right, let's go a couple of races earlier and the Turf Monster. Interested to see what you're going to do here because you could go a few different directions and have an equal amount of confidence in this race as with a few others on the card. This kicks off the pick five that will have $155,000 carryover with a mandatory pay if people are interested in that.
Or Seth.
I'm tilting towards Firecrow in here. I pulled up the Jim McKay Turf Sprint going back to May 15th. Firecrow is going to be the number 11 horse in here. Now, the thing is, this was this horse's last race, so sat off all summer long. But boy, I looked at those workouts underneath. A couple of them up at Saratoga, most recently at Churchill. Seems like Ron Moquette has this horse on his toes. I'm going to tilt in that direction. Macaritari, Caravelle, Belgrano. I think you can point in different directions and have equal amounts of confidence. So I'm interested to see which direction do you go in the Turf Monster.
Well, let me start with my four contenders here. That's it. Four contenders are Beer Can Man, Caritari, Firecrow, and Caravelle. And Caravelle is just kind of it's a hedge. I don't think she's as fast as either of the three males, but she can run well. The Caress was a good effort. It still wouldn't beat these unless she improved. but the other two. As far as Firecrow and Karateri, I give Karateri slight preference. But let me back up and go backwards then. So I'm doing a tri-box of these four. I'm exacta. I'm going to key Karateri over the other three back and forth. Beer Can Man coming out of California off a career best, off a layoff from February to August. Won a grade three last year. The Cecil B. DeMille, so definitely form fits here, and Pratt's riding and gets a nice pace set up. It's also an interesting race, and it might be a key race because the third horse is probably the only horse to come back out of that allowance race and won already. Firecrow, as you mentioned, no knocks. And again, Rosario, so I'm not getting off. Rosario rode Kentucky down so well. He's one of the only jocks that knew how to take the rail. Everybody else went wide. It just got him so many winners there. The fact that that was off a layoff, the horse fires, those works, as you mentioned, fantastic. What's most intriguing to me about Firecrow is that that race was the first one in which he truly relaxed. I'm truly, truly relaxed. Every other race, he'd been on the leader battling head and head from the start. And here all of a sudden, Rosario has him a length and a half back. I mean, just that knack to get a horse to just chill was fantastic. And it was a career best, Equibase figure 109. So no knock. As I mentioned, Caravel again, okay, I don't think she should be 9-5. I'm glad she's 9-5. And then Karateri. Karateri actually projects on the lead. I'm not sure if that's the case, but it's really weird. The stats race lens projects on the lead, and I do respect that. Second beaten the neck in the turf sprint to Fast Boat in January, then when the Silks run, really loves 5 furlongs. I mean, likes 5.5, but loves 5 furlongs. Saez is getting on for the first time. First or second in 4 of the last 7 at 5 furlongs. The third horse coming out of the Troy Gear Jockey came back to win that $600,000 turf sprint, the winner you're in at Kentucky Downs. The winner, Fast Boat, finished 4th in that race, so that also could be a key race. That 114 Equibase speed figure just towers over these. Not that much Firecrow, 5 points, but 2 lengths, but definitely, and the odds are better. So Karateri is a top pick, Firecrow, second win contender. Beer Can Man, 8-1, might make a $10 win bet, not going to get beat. I'll use Caravelle in the pick 3, pick 4s, exactas, and tries.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested. You alluded to it a little bit. Caravelle 9-5 on the morning line. I'm very intrigued to see what the betting winds up as they go into the gate, because I think folks now focus so much on the buyer figures, and Firecrow comes off a triple-digit buyer, Karateri comes off a triple-digit buyer, and Caravelle hasn't fired a triple-digit yet. So I'm going to be, but she's very talented, and if you draw a line through the Woodbine race, she's coming into it with some high 90 buyers that folks may focus on. I'll be interested to see, though, where the betting public winds up going in this race.
Yeah, and also the fact is, I mean, those were males. She's facing males again. So it's a grade one. I think she's going to be lower odds because she's dropping in class technically. But the race didn't come up a grade one race in terms of a class rating, which matches his speed figure. It came out okay. I mean, she got 100 speed figure. The horses that beat her are good. Silent Poet, Admiralty Pier, both multiple winners. She was game. But it's in cutting back to 5, if you look back to her Goodwood at Monmouth, that was a great race, but it still wasn't fast enough to beat these. And she's not, you know, these three, she's a 4-year-old, and I still would expect a 4-year-old to show an improving pattern of figures. She's running about the same race every time. Her best race is not as good, as you said, as the best race of Firecrow and Karateri. But on the other hand, you know, that's great that the public will gravitate towards it. It'll be interesting to see, as you said, what the odds are in your post time.
Yeah, I agree completely. And finally, let's just talk a little bit about that Gallant Bob, just because we certainly have to mention it. But as you noted, probably a free square for most people. I pulled up the replay to the Jerkins at Saratoga last time, where it was a nice battle. Life is good. We'll also show up today, the Kelso at Belmont. Looking forward to both of these horses this afternoon. But it's interesting that Asmussen elected to off a couple of wins up at Saratoga to pick this spot. But given the remainder of the field, does look like Jackie's Warrior has this group over a barrel.
Yeah, and you know, Rosario could win the 9th, 10th, and 11th. I mean, it's very logical he could do that with Firecrow, with Jackie's Warrior, and with Army Wife. Jackie's Warrior is great in terms of betting for folks out there. I mean, usually you want to turn a pick 5 into a pick 4, a pick 4 into a pick 3, and it does that. It also turns the pick 5, in my mind, into a pick 3 because I'm going to single Army Wife. So I have 2 singles on my ticket. So it's good to have it. It's a great race. We'll have to see how sharp he stays, because certainly, you know, they might try him in the mile. I don't know what they're talking about. They might go in the sprint. I'm looking forward to see his progression again and just a really good race for a horse. Again, that relaxed for almost the first time in his career. He was second in the Jerkins early, a couple lengths off. We'd never done that before. That just goes to not only Steve Asmussen's training, but Rosario just being able to turn these early horses into horses that can sit just off the pace. And that's just a tremendous attribute.
Yeah, and we saw that stretch run there. Just would not relent to Life Is Good. Going to be interested to see again how that one does over at Belmont this afternoon as well. Really a fun card at Parks, though, today. And Ellis, as always, we appreciate the thoughts, and we'll be rooting for you this afternoon and hopefully cashing some tickets. And as I say, we will certainly check in sooner rather than later as that Keeneland meet is right around the corner.
I look forward to it. And check out my Twitter at UberCapper. You can get all my various blogs at 3 or 4 different sites today.
Sounds good. Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. We'll take a last break, come back and wrap it up on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for tuning in. Again, nice card at Parks today. A couple of nice stakes over at Belmont, including that Life Is Good return, and looking forward to seeing that one. Also want to note, if you're watching the races a little bit later today, about 5:30 up at Woodbine, Pink Lloyd, the venerable Pink Lloyd, shows up in the Bold Venture, 6.5 furlongs. Pink Lloyd, only a couple of starts this year, a couple of seconds. And if you're not familiar, this is the horse of the year from, what, a couple of seasons ago. But Pink Lloyd, now 9 years old, $1.6 million in the bank, comes back in the Bold Venture this afternoon, third start of the season, off 2 second place finishes, and won this race last year. So, again, if you're tuned in a little bit later, just a dinner time, a little before dinner time maybe, 5:30 today, Woodbine, the Bold Venture. We'll see if Pink Lloyd can get back in the winner's circle at 9 years old. I mentioned it earlier, unfortunately, Yaupon, who we saw multiple times over the past few weeks in replay in that crazy race up at Saratoga, Yaupon and Frenzy Fire. But Yaupon was shipped out to Southern California in prep for the Breeders' Cup. Yaupon and Max Player went out early to kind of get acclimated. Unfortunately, the news came out late yesterday that Yaupon was injured in a workout at Santa Anita, and no surgery will be required, but has been retired. So, unfortunate news there for a horse that, again, was part of one of the real buzz races up at Saratoga this season. Tomorrow, Sunday, tune in here on the network. Churchill Downs' eighth race will feature a half-sister to Essential Quality. Looking forward to that. Goes out for Godolphin and Brad Cox. Brad was quoted a while back as saying, "I think the filly is going to be a two-turn horse just like him. She appears to have some stamina and some speed. He had both, and those two things, good things to have in a racehorse, absolutely. So we'll see what happens tomorrow in tomorrow's eighth race. Six furlongs, 9 2-year-old fillies are entered. Churchill Downs, eighth race tomorrow. The half-sister to Essential Quality will show up, so looking forward to that race tomorrow. Monomoy Girl retired. She came out of a workout this week with a little bit of a ding, so it was announced a couple days ago that unfortunately we will not see Monomoy Girl again. Just a spectacular career. And we were looking for kind of another comeback this year, but not going to happen now at this point, as again, that news came out a little bit earlier this week. Better news, horses have begun training over Gulfstream's Tapita surface. Training over the synthetic track got underway yesterday. They're looking for potentially the first races over the synthetic track down at Gulfstream on September 30th. Looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting to see. If you remember a few years ago when Keeneland had the synthetic surface, when there was an off-the-turf event, there were a few instances where the field size increased for horses that were entered essentially main track. Now I wonder how those MTOs will be listed. I suppose it's still the same designation, but now it's there with three surfaces. There is the main track, the Tapita, and the turf. And I'm guessing that the game plan will be off-the-turf events go to the synthetic. So, yeah, it's main track only may be an anachronism in the 21st century at this point down at Gulfstream. But it'll be fun to see how that works out. You would think turf races getting moved to a synthetic on a rainy afternoon would hold together much better than going to the dirt. So we'll see. And we'll just see how they're scheduling races down there. But that's the situation down at Gulfstream. We'll have a little chance to get used to it before we get into that championship meet that we all like to play during the winter down at Gulfstream. But the synthetic surface, horses have worked over it. There's actually a quote in the article I pulled up, the Blood Horse article from yesterday, a quote from Chantel Sutherland, who had worked horses yesterday. She says, of all the Tapitas and Poly tracks, this is by far one of the better ones. This is beautiful. The horse went over it effortlessly. So it gets a thumbs up from one of the jockeys who worked over the synthetic surface at Churchill, at Gulfstream yesterday. And again, they will start racing on the track, potentially, tentatively. They're scheduled to start racing next week, September 30th, on that new synthetic surface down at Gulfstream. So it's going to be fun to see how that plays out as, again, we kind of go into the fall and then sooner rather than later get to that championship meet as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Saturday morning leading into a great Saturday afternoon of racing. Speaking of Saturday afternoon, don't forget the Woodlawn Branch in Schenectady has a fan appreciation day. State Street in Schenectady, swing by. Doors open. The first 50 folks through the door get a $2 bet voucher and a racing program. There's also a contest this afternoon. It should be a lot of fun. Fan Appreciation Day at the Woodlawn Branch in Schenectady today. Tomorrow, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, it's an NFL Sunday. Wear a jersey. You get in for free. Maybe you win a jersey by putting your name on one of the squares. You can also win a restaurant voucher. Always a lot of fun. Watch all the football action and all the racing action every Sunday during the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up, but I will be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We will have that Parks program. Don't forget Parks with the Pennsylvania Derby program kicks off at 12:05, regular post times for other tracks, 1 o'clock for Belmont, 12:45 for Churchill. So, as I say, I'll be back an hour and a half or so to kick things off on an OTB Live Saturday afternoon program. Looking forward to it, taking you through the Parks action and beyond. Hopefully, we cash some tickets, make some money. Yesterday on OTB Live, it was a pretty good day. So hopefully we keep things rolling as the weekend gets kicked off. Happy to have you on board for the Weekend Warriors who just tune in on weekends. We're happy to have you on board as well, and we will certainly be looking forward to a fun and productive Saturday afternoon. But as far as Saturday morning, we will wrap it up. Handicapper Support and Racing Across America for this September 25th. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.